your cult family should act friendly and interested, get information, and hone their weak spots. Control their behavior.
Come live with us.
Wear these clothes.
Eat this food.
Encourage members to spy and report on one another.
Friends, you are listening to KBOO Portland, and the time is just about 11. We have Sudden Radio Project coming up next. The Tiki Cha-Cha Hour, plus several coming up right after that. I meant in an hour. That's okay. You've been listening to The Union of Time Thieves. This is Becky. You can find us on the tubes and a multitude of venues. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Instagram and Twitter, Thieves Union. The Union of Time Thieves is how it is on Bookface. Have a fantastic night, and we'll see you in 1 month. Good luck with the rest of the year.
Your brains back into your head. The Sudden Radio Project is next, and I urge you to cast your minds back to 2003 for the best of the year, that year, 2003. It was December. It's still December. It's always December.
Now, DP, are you certain that you are actually moving forward in time, or have you moved back in time and are now moving forward through a past time?
Yes.
It's the 23rd hour of the last Monday of the month, and it's time for the 23rd episode of the Sudden Radio Project. The last episode of 2003.
Jesus Christ, it's a freaking zoo in here. Where have you been? We were supposed to rendezvous at overpriced yuppie beverages an hour ago.
I'm sorry. I got stuck in line at Made in China. What can you do?
Besides, we're almost finished. Did you find everything?
Pretty much. Kitty Crap was out of stock on the bloated budget blockbuster action figures Tyler wanted, so I got him a toy he'll fiddle with for about 5 minutes, then never touch again in his life. What about you?
Well, I managed to score the last unrealistic female body image doll at Materialist Mecca for Angela. One of their minimum wage slaves found it in the back room.
I thought Angela was more interested in the tepid preteen faux rebellion playset.
We agreed that that wouldn't be appropriate. Remember, honey? Might make her want a piercing.
You're right, I forgot.
Want to see what I got for your mom?
Sure. Hey, great! A gift everyone pretends to like but actually detests. She'll love that.
I thought so, too. It'll go really well with the gift we bought only because it was really inexpensive last year, don't you think?
Absolutely.
And for your dad, I got a shirt no self-respecting man would get caught dead using as a rag.
Sweet.
And for your brother, I got this.
The Has-Been's box set? Let me see that. Shit that ain't half as good as you remember and a whole lot more crap that's worse. Wow. You know, my birthday's coming up. Hint, hint.
I thought you were a fan of Should Have Retired at 20.
I only liked the stuff the Chunky Sex Fiend played on. The rest wasn't very good. Hey, what's that?
What's what?
That box in the bottom of the bag.
Hey, no fair peeking.
You bought me a worthless piece of shit knockoff of the worthless piece of shit knockoff they sell on TV, didn't you?
Maybe.
Aw, honey, you're the best.
Thank you, dear. But you'll still have to wait until Santa brings it to you.
Okay. So what else do we need? Anything?
Well, I'd like to head down to Pushy and Uptight for a sweatshop sweater and a child labor chemise to give to the aunties. They're on sale for twice the average annual income of a third world textile worker.
That sounds good. I'll stop at the store named after some dead guy to find your dad a cheap accessory with the logo of his favorite overpaid underachieving professional sports franchise.
You know, gifts for guys with no idea what the hell to give a woman is right next door. Maybe you should take a stroll through there. Hint, hint.
I think someone's just trying to sidetrack me while she takes a little side trip to You Can't Afford This.
Now who would do a lowdown thing like that?
Well, since we're stuck here for at least another hour, shall we run by Fat on a Bun for some deep-fried fat with fat sauce, a side of fat, and an ice-cold 32-ounce carbonated fat?
Can you wait until we get home, dear? We're having overprocessed poultry patties and sodium sauce for dinner.
But I'm really hungry.
Well, I brought some of Linda Miller's dessert that tastes a hell of a lot better than anything I'll ever make, the bitch.
Oh, really?
Really. But you'll have to go out to our hulking off-road behemoth that cost more than my parents' first goddamn house and will never ever be driven on anything more treacherous than wet pavement first.
And I think I'll wait.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. Let's just get this over with.
Thanks, honey. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Beyond the Beyond. I'm John DeComp.
I'm Todd Amorphous.
We're talking with DP in the Great Beyond, wherever that may be, and I'm glad that you could join us.
Thank you. It's good to be in touch with this former existence.
Tell us, how is it that you know you're in the place that you're in and not in the place we're in?
Well, at times it can feel deceptive because there is a certain inner shell that remains constant. And I feel that the inner part of that shell can travel anywhere and remain the same. But there's also an outer shell that is quite different. And how I know I'm not where I once was is a subtle feeling. It's a subtle feeling of pain, of missing that which I used to be around, and it's somewhat of a sadness.
Now, DP, these shells you speak of, When you went from the place you were to the place you are now, did you feel yourself passing through these shells?
No, the shells remain around me, and remained around me through my travels. The outer shell changed in its color and its smell and its appearance. I mean, I went through the traveling was quite interesting. There was a lot of graininess between there and here, a lot of grain. I went through a lot of grain. And and here, the outer shell has an older sense to it. I feel that it's an older place than where I was before. And in its age, it's slightly grittier. It's somewhat dirtier. And it also carries an odor with it that is somewhat more stale. And yet, the age is also familiar to me. There's sort of a loveliness, as if you were to smell your grandmother. You might sense that it's somewhat stale, but it's also quite lovely.
That's very beautiful. What big difference do you see between the way people perceive time and space in the place that you're in, and the way we perceive time and space?
Time and space, well, I'm going to separate them to discuss them. Time has a sense of cyclicity here. It's not constantly evolving forward. It cycles around and around and around. On a smaller scale, I feel as though events unfold and occur, and I come back to square one over and over again. There's a sense of things being divided, segmented, whether it's that there's a sense of fractions of time. For example, I feel as though I've been here for a half of one cycle in many ways. And then there's a feeling that there's been several cycles since I've been here. But where I came from before had more of a flexible, looser sense of one long journey. And here is, I'm sort of going around a wheel that's much smaller. In terms of space, the space is also rather different. Where the air, I can still breathe the air here, but it's the molecules feel far more tightly constricted. Hmm. There's a lot more in the space here than there was where I originated, and the space is filled with a lot of noise and a lot of structure and a lot of, it's more concrete here. And it can be rather dizzying as a result. There's a lot more to fill the space.
What about your energetic form? Do you feel that that has gone through a transformation? Has your essence transformed at all?
My, I think that would bring me back to your first question, that my essence at its inner core has remained constant, but I've seen many changes in my essence. And it's hard for me to respond to that, in that I cannot get outside of that essence. So I would have to say that my essence is currently responding to this new place, this new environment. It's adapting and adjusting and probably being molded by this place so that it would appear quite different. Yes.
And in the place that you're in, do you feel that the perception is the perception of the place that you're in, that it's the place to be, or was the place before the place to be?
I don't know if I can qualify that. It is no better than where I have been, and it is no worse than where I have been. It is certainly a different place, a new place, a strange place. And that's not to say that it doesn't have its familiarity and its beauty. But I would say that this is a journey, and perhaps the journey is not over, and that's why it is hard for me to qualify what is better or worse about this place as compared to another. And there's aspects of it which feel ancient, and I feel very comfortable in, very at home in. And there's aspects of it that are still rather foreign, and I'm not sure that I'm done moving through it.
So your perception of the past is altered somewhat?
My perception of the past is altered in the passing of time, of course, because it's no longer the present. It's now the past, and I can compartmentalize that epoch.
Lynn? Hello, it's David. Lynn?
Eowyn.
Huh? Remember me? It's David.
Yes, my lord, I do remember you.
You okay?
My eyes are open. What of yours? In this world's age, what health of mind would be okay? Are you blind?
No, but you didn't answer when I knocked.
Oh, my lord, know you not why? Why here in darkness I can be found in great pain of the heart and the mind?
Look, Lynn.
Eowyn, there is a dark lord in the east who wages a terrible war upon the world.
Why are you talking that way?
Why are you talking your way?
Never mind. Pretty, sparse furnishings you've got here. A twin bed and one book.
It's heavy.
Oh, Lord of the Rings.
My only book.
Your only book? Don't you get bored?
I am not bored of the rings. I am not bored of the rings. 100 times I'm not.
The Lord of the Rings.
Talk not to me about that devil. It will make me mad, mad, mad.
Take it easy. So, did you stop taking your meds?
Due to the budgetary cuts in our once noble state, this is all the house of healing that remains. This hovel with an ugly, moldy carpet and these dispiriting fluorescent lights.
And no dishwasher.
If you look out this window, the east is drawn gray, a dim view, but this view and this book are all I have.
Oregon's cut mental health so much that you're off your meds?
In a meter that moves anapestically, a lost person like me could become yet more lost, or free.
Maybe you should get away from that window, Lynn.
Eowyn.
You changed your name?
I've read this book 100 times, and now it's in my tongue and on my mind, and if you'd seen as I have done, you too would fear the shadow that has come.
You've read Lord of the Rings 100 times?
I am not bored of the rings. I'm not bored of the rings.
I'm gonna look around for your meds. What's this?
My favorite sweets. They're Red Hots called.
Do you have to talk that way?
Deeper in distress, I dactylic speak. Be warned, be glad some iambs creep onto my tongue, my lord, and float on my breath, my lord, and from my mouth, my lord, they wake from sleep.
Some iambs, great, no meds at all anywhere. So, are you working?
I am working, on staying alive. I've been waiting, but I fear that he'll come now no more.
Who?
The king, my lord.
This is so surreal.
Oh, he'll come now no more, for I believe he fell before that fell beast, the Dark Lord's dark Captain Ascroft. I am alone, and this is why, my lord, you find me here as the shadow grows, my bower closing in upon me, lord, and no one knows when the peril will kill us all. And what of you, my lord? How went the battle as you left it?
Me? Well, I don't know. I mean, well, you and I used to have such great talks in college, and I just thought recently...
In the younger days before, worms had tongues and bushes bombs.
Right. Before you...
Went mad. And now I'm...
Sad?
You haven't the sense of my grief or poetic diction, my lord. But look, your face is lined with care.
Oh, your hand, it's really cold. As it turns out, I left my wife.
And how fell you from fellowship?
She voted for Bush, and she's voting for him again.
Your words gore what sanity I still possess within my skin.
Does the heat work in here?
I would rally the people if I could. Bash the balls that bleed us, or cut their threads, unbind us. Terror regime in Mordor, D.C.
Mordor, D.C.?
In Mordor, D.C., which in the Orcish means diminutive cock. Oh, that an assassin I were. I'd swing my blade in stealth, sing my steel into his guts, slice down through the grand old panties, and show the world the diminutive cock that Lewinsky's mouth would only mock.
Lynn?
Eowyn. Instead, I remain at home, hiding in fantasy from this shadow.
Right. Thing is, I have nowhere to live right now. Can I stay here? Maybe I could get a futon or something.
You may wait until the return of the king.
Great, thanks. But you said he wasn't coming back.
We must hope. We must hope, cursed pessimist.
I'm not a pessimist. I'm a realist.
I despise the real. We must hope.
Okay. I can hope.
You needs must read the book. If you would stay, you must read.
Okay, I can read. I saw the first movie. Does that count?
Movies do not count. Books count. Books count.
Sure. I'll do it.
You needs must change your name.
I do?
I name you Faramir.
Faramir. Who is he?
He falls in love with Eowyn in the Houses of Healing.
Oh.
For in fantasy, Faramir... Unlike the real life you like, a small person can destroy a tyrant. Two people can find love, and there can be a happy ending.
Is this a happy ending? A dreary apartment with a crazy woman, one twin bed, no dishwasher, and nothing to do but read a fantasy book. Lynn.
Eowyn.
Your lips are warm.
Fear not, my lord Faramir. You will not get bored of the rings.
Beyond the beyond...
I'm Todd Amorphis.
We're talking with DP.
Now, DP, are you certain that you are actually moving forward in time, or have you moved back in time and are now moving forward through a past time?
I am traveling on different levels of time and space and history and future, and I don't feel that I've gone back in time. Although I am reminded of other times where I have been here. But that's not to say that I've gone back to those times. I'm just reminded of similar time or of familiar times. I am cycling through. If time moves forward, then I'm moving forward with time. That's all I can say about that.
If you had to talk to any young sojourners out there who are trying to cross through or over to the place that you're in from the place that we're in, what would you have to say to them about their journey? It was something to look forward to, or something to be wary of.
I would say to the sojourners out there, no matter where you're looking to journey, to keep your eye on the journey as it progresses rather than on a notion of where you are looking to end up, because you may land in a different place from what you have expected. I would also say that on your journey, to travel as light as possible, and I mean by that to not be weighed down by what you think you may need for the journey or artifacts from your past. If you're concerned about forgetting where you've come from, you will not forget. So don't burden yourself with too much.
The psychological artifacts you're talking about? Emotional artifacts?
I'm talking about physical artifacts, but in the psychological sense, people often are afraid to move through to a new place or to embark on a journey, and they will hang on to that which is familiar and safe. But by traveling light in one's spirit and one's psyche and one's luggage, then one can have, I think, a smoother ride. And of course, as I would always follow the advice of a certain author that I've been familiarized with in other parts of my journey, and that's to bring your towel.
Are you in a damper place or a drier place?
Well, the place that I came from was wet, and the place that I'm at now is damp, and it's a different kind of. It's a different kind of moisture, but it's rather moist here, but it's not at all the same kind of moisture. So perhaps the gases in the place I'm at now are of a different construction. I'm not sure. I'm not a chemist, but it's certainly damp here, but it's different from the wetness that I came from.
And what about the those your new compatriots? How do they compare to your the compatriots in your previous existence?
Well, the beings that are around me here are very familiar to me on many levels, and I'm grateful to be around beings such as these once again. They're quite different in some ways from the people that I left behind in general, in that the beings here are perhaps more, because of the environment being older, they're more aged and rough, and perhaps because of the physical space being more cramped, are a little more moody and gruff. And so I would say that this place houses a spirit that is old and rigid and a little hard, but with good humor. There's a sense of humor.
Well, it sounds like a place I'd like to visit someday. How about you, Todd?
It sounds wonderful.
Yeah, anything that gives us some kind of contrast to where we are and where we're going is probably a healthy thing for psychology.
Daddy?
Yes, honey?
I'm cold.
I'm sorry, honey. Here, you can have my blanket.
But
Here you go. Just wrap you up nice and snug. Tuck you in here. There. How's that? Better?
Well, yeah.
Good.
Aren't you going to be cold?
Nah, I'll be all right. It'll get warmer once this rain lets up. I need to go foraging soon anyway. You just relax and get comfy, okay? Still got that cough, huh?
No. Well, maybe just a little.
Well, I'll see if any of our apples got ripe yet. That'll cure you. And once the storm blows over, we'll plant some garlic. That'll chase the old cough monster away. Getting warmer?
Starting to.
Great. Just let Daddy know if you need anything.
Thanks, Dad.
You're welcome.
Someone's coming, Daddy.
Oh, yeah? Huh. Oh, it's Myers. Odd that they'd be out and about. Frank? Amy? Hello? What's going on, folks?
Bad news, Lester. We got washed out again. Mudslide came down the hill, smashed our pathetic little hovel to smithereens.
Oh, Frank, that's terrible. Is everyone okay?
Yeah. Fortunately, Hollis saw it coming. We were able to clear out everybody in time.
Little Hollis. Come here, you little hero. I'd give you a medal if I had one. You saved your family's lives.
He wasn't supposed to be outside.
Now, Grady, you hush.
Maybe you'd rather be up to your neck in...
Hollis, honey, come here.
Maybe if you listened to anybody, you wouldn't hack like a hyena all the time. Ever think about that?
All right, that's enough. You owe your brother your life. Just remember that.
This is some life, isn't it? We've gone from having nothing to having less than nothing in 5 seconds flat. Maybe I'd rather be buried alive under a pile of sod.
How dare you talk like that?
Now, just calm down, everybody. Bickering and fighting is not going to make things any better. You've still got each other, and you've still got friends, too. Darla and I will clear out some space for you. There's room, and once this rain stops, we can start building you a new place.
Oh, no, that's fine, Lester. I appreciate the offer and everything, but we don't want to trouble you.
You know it's no trouble.
I thought we were going to the mansion, Pa.
Nice work, Blabbermouth.
Yeah, we better be getting along.
What did you say, Hollis?
Well, Pa said we were going up to the mansion on top of the hill. We're going to live there.
Leave the boy alone, Lester.
Is it true, Frank? You're going back?
Yes, we are.
Frank, how can you? Are you mad? Have you forgotten what they did to us? How they treated us? Darla, fetch me a mirror so we can show Mr. Meyer the 5-inch scar across his cheek. Is that what you want, Frank? To be beaten and humiliated for your daily bread?
At least we won't have to shiver ourselves to sleep every night in a leaky shack on a shit mud-browned hillside that's gonna collapse at any moment.
What about dignity, Frank?
How can you talk about dignity? Look at this so-called house of yours. Nothing but a tin roof sticking out of a hillside, 3 dirt walls, and a tarp for a front door. Maybe it meets your warped idea of self-respect. Maybe you enjoy scrounging for food like an animal and listening to your child cough her lungs out every night. Not me. I'm through with this. I'm through with being cold and hungry all the time, Lester. And most of all, I'm tired of the goddamn rain. If those people up there want to burst my eardrum so I don't have to listen to it anymore, I'd worship them as saints.
Then how will you know when it's stopped?
Stopped? Stopped? You actually believe this rain's ever going to stop, Les? Can you even remember your last glimpse of blue sky? Much less the last day of sunshine? Can't you see that God has turned his back on us? That's the conclusion I've come to after today's incident. Or should I say insult? If there is a God, Lester, he don't give a rat's ass about me or you or anyone else living on this forlorn hillside.
He spared you, though, didn't he?
To what end? So he could inflict even more suffering upon us? If you want to play Job or Noah or who the hell ever, you be my guest. But I've had it with being Jehovah's rubber ducky, Lester. You can have the eternal rainfall. I'm through.
Frank, get a grip. The rain can't go on forever. That's impossible. It'll stop. It's bound to end soon. Mark my word. Look, Frank, look across the valley. See? It's a rainbow.
You can have the rainbow, Les. Good luck feeding your family with it. Come on, people, let's move.
So long, Frank.
Adios.
Bye, Mr. Morgan. Bye, Darla.
Daddy?
Yes, dear?
Here's the mirror you wanted.
Oh, thanks, honey.
Daddy? Why are they going to the mansion?
Because they lost hope, Darla.
Is that bad?
Oh, very bad. It's the worst thing that can happen as far as I'm concerned.
Daddy?
Yes, honey?
I'm cold again.
Oh, it's probably just all the excitement. Come here and cuddle up. Daddy's body heat will warm you up. There we go. Once I get you warm, I'll see if I can find some more dry wood. Does that sound good?
Yes, Daddy.
Did you see the rainbow, sweetheart?
No.
It was right over... I think it was right over that way. It was right over... I think it was over that way. It will come back sometime. Once the rain slows down and the sun comes out again. It has to. It has to. I know it.
It seems that on every journey I embark, I have a different notion of how I will be perceived and how I will potentially play with that or manipulate that. I was transformed at another time and landed in a place where you all are now. And there I felt as though people didn't, they weren't familiar with me and grew to be familiar with me. And it was a very peaceful and very accepting type of interchange. Here, I feel less in need of defining my history or my boundaries, my skin. I don't feel the need to define that as much. And as a result, or maybe it's because of the fact that there is some recognition that cuts both ways being here. The familiarity that I alluded to earlier perhaps is also emanating from me to the people I'm encountering here. And so their perception, I'm unsure because I haven't delved into figuring out what it is. Maybe I don't much care what the perception is, but it's not uncomfortable.
Are you looking forward to your next transition, or are you happy in your current place?
Well, here's how I see it. I've just begun a certain period of this journey, and I cannot yet see around the bend to what is next. As if on a wheel, I've only turned it. I only see a cog or two in front of me.
You cannot yet see the entire machine.
I don't know where. Well, I am here. I am beginning a journey here. I perhaps could answer that question in several more cycles of, as I mentioned, time, the way it progresses in these cycles. I think I would need several more to see where I might be going from here. But as it is, I'm still arriving.
If we're all doing that all the time, then I guess we're never dead. We're never quite finished with our body.
Hey. How did you get up here?
The same way you did. I squeezed through the barrier and first opened the roof door.
They don't really want people on the roof.
Oh, no shit. It's way cool up here. Hey, you can see the whole fucking city. What's the building way over there in the fog? Is that Vancouver?
Vancouver? Who gives a shit? What is that goddamn thumping noise?
Oh, big party downstairs. The whole building is jumping. I don't think I've ever been that high up. Look at them. Still look like maggots down there.
So, What's your name?
Jenny, with a G after the beer.
Your dad's idea, right?
Son of a bitch. Had to deal with that. Yo, Jenny. Jenny Light. Hey, hey. What are you? Less filling? Every dickhead in high school. What's yours?
Cliff.
Cliffhanger?
Cliff Robinson. After the basketball player.
Fucked up by the fathers. So, you waiting for someone?
Yeah, right. Waiting. Listen, I'm here for the same reason you are. And don't fucking lie to me.
What? I just wanted to.
Come here. Look at me. Don't you fucking lie, Jenny Light. Takes one to know one.
Yes?
I want to show you something. I'm going to touch you a minute. Hold on to you.
The fuck you are. I'll break your fucking arm.
No, no. Just calm down. I'm just going to touch you a minute on the shoulders, okay? And show you something. It's okay. I'm not one of your 42nd Street perverts. Don't move. Turn around. Look out at the roof. I'm not going to hurt you. Just stop moving around, will ya?
Jesus, what the hell is that? What the fuck is?
It's okay. Keep still a minute. Stop moving.
Who are they? Where do they come from?
I have this. I don't know whether it's a gift or a curse. I can sort of see things.
I see dead people.
Sometimes people, and sometimes just moods or something. Comes and goes. I was up here about 5 minutes when...
Who the fuck are they? Are they ghosts? Are they real? I can't believe I'm asking these questions. What the fuck are they doing here?
I think they must all be the people who killed themselves from here on New Year's Eve. They're all the people who jumped off this building. That's why they're just sort of pacing or looking off into space. I think we might be seeing the last minutes of their deciding time before they jumped.
Holy shit! Look, their clothes are all different too. Is this like all the people who have ever jumped off this fucking roof since the building was built?
Cliff notes I'm not. Who knows? I guess so. It must have been built in the 20s. See that woman near the chimney? She looks like a flapper.
They're all blue and sparkly. And, what is it? Iridescent? I can see through them, but, Jesus, they're all so clear. How did you make me see them?
You got me. I just know I can do that sometimes. Freaks people out.
Well, yeah, no fucking shit.
So?
Huh? So what?
You still gonna be another New Year's jumper?
Are you? Hey, do you think they only show up here on New Year's Eve?
What are you asking me for? Jump and you'll find out.
Smartass. I was depressed and a little drunk when I came up here, but now I'm just blown away.
Dust.
What's that? You smell that?
Exhaust? Diesel fuel? What did you expect? Flowers and Calvin Klein?
No. It smells like smoke.
Hey, where are you going? Are you going over without saying goodbye? After all we've meant to each other?
I just want to see what that... Oh, great. Perfect. That's fucking wonderful. There must be a god after all, the motherfucker.
What?
The building is on fire. The goddamn building is on fire. Must be some kind of test to see if we're bullshitting or not.
Either way, we lose. We fucked up our karma somewhere. We're screwed. Test from whom? You the religious type?
A good lapsed Catholic girl. But no, I meant from faith or whatever.
Oh.
Oh? We're gonna die, dummy. Whether we really want it to or not.
Maybe not. Come on.
What?
Maybe we can get out of here the same way we got up here. And then to the fire escape. I think the fire escape is near the roof door.
Ah, shit!
What? What?
The metal door is hot. Burning hot. We can't open it now. Looks like we're... fried.
I'm feeling a bit woozy. Lightheaded. Seeing double. Nauseous. Hey, look at them. They're watching us. They fucking see us.
I'll be goddamned. They do see us. They've known we were here all along.
What?
I'm feeling a little spacey myself. I'm...
Cliff? 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 Get up, you asshole. Fine. Just when we're going to kill ourselves, you go and die on me. Cliff? Cliff?
We're plugged into the psychological aural offices of KBOO in Portland, Oregon. And we'd like to thank our sponsor, Ectonet.net, for making this possible, that they provide the psychic phone line that gets us through to the side where you are from the side that we're in. We're going to have to go.
Running out of time, I miss the sense of time boundaries where I had come from. They were exciting and they were forceful and omnipotent and beautiful. And I don't have that sense of same sense of time that I once had there.
How has it changed?
Well, it's slower. It's less exacting, but it is repetitive and it is cyclical, and so it is still very powerful and very controlling in the sense of it's mischievous. It's getting dark here now all of a sudden, and I know it's not where you are. So it's playful in that regard. It forces me to ever let go of any notion that I have control over what's going on. And that's okay. I'm okay with that. And I do miss the world I left. And I feel as though in my journeys I can always revisit old places. In fact, in many ways, it's what I'm doing now. Not that I would ever expect everything to be the same. I would look forward to another visit through, whether it be through Ectonet or through some other medium. So I thank you for this opportunity.
We're very glad that you were able to talk to us.
Yes, thank you.
I miss some people there very much, and the community station is larger than life. It's larger than each one of the individuals that put so much time and energy and creativity into it. It's a huge force, and it's a beautiful force, and I do keep it with me, even way out here, so I'm grateful for it.
Great. Thank you very much for joining us. For the our sponsors, Ectonet.net, and our program, Beyond the Beyond, I'm John DeComp.
I'm Todd Amorphous.
How does she look, Father?
Not too bad for one in her condition. She'll go quietly, at least.
So, there's no hope?
None. You know her time is almost past.
Yes, you're right. It all seemed to go by so quickly.
And soon it will be your brother's turn. Are you ready, my son?
Ready as I'll ever be. Doesn't appear that I have much choice, do I?
Well, no. Don't worry. You'll do fine, I'm sure.
Are you certain she hasn't got anything left? Some 11th hour surprise, perhaps?
Not likely. Perhaps she'll take another celebrity with her. That was her forte, after all. Perhaps another depressingly senseless act of violence, though there are many of her siblings who will be better remembered for that. But honestly, her time wasn't especially remarkable. Ordinary, really.
Oh, come now, Father. I'll grant you nothing miraculous happened, but surely she'll be remembered fondly by those that fell in love or gave birth to a child or experienced some small blessing.
What of those who lost a loved one or had some other misfortune, sister? Surely there were as many tiny tragedies during her time as there were moments of joy.
Can we expect more of the same from you, then?
I can't simply eradicate the problems my siblings created for me, now can I?
Perhaps not as far as major events are concerned, but on a smaller scale, a bit of mercy here and there could help to turn the larger picture around, wouldn't it? Oh, Father, why does there always have to be so much pain and suffering and misery and disappointment all the time? Why are your children so malevolent?
We do not control everything, my dear. Remember that. We are doing the best we can with who we have to work with.
That is what some of them would call blaming the victim, Father.
They created us. We do not exist, cannot exist without them. You heard me say this many times, daughter. Our interference in their affairs must be minimal.
Even if it threatens the very existence of your family, Father? Surely you have noticed that these creatures seem bent on their own self-destruction.
I'm ambivalent, my son. I've observed them long enough to believe that watching over their follies and foolishness for all eternity would be a most torturous existence.
Come now, Father. Certainly you can see that while they do have an unfortunate capacity for tragedy, they are capable of love and caring and tenderness. Does that not redeem them somewhat in your eyes?
I am old, my dear, and the endless quarrel between good and evil, progress and retreat, enlightenment and ignorance, has perhaps dulled my optimism a bit too much. I wish the best for both of you, but I've seen enough of the past to not expect too much of the future. I'm sorry that I cannot send you off to your duty with more inspiring words than that, my son. Do the best you can.
I will, Father. I will.
Good luck, brother.
You must go. Farewell.
Farewell, Father. I will serve you well. I promise.
It will be he lying here next time. Is that right, Father?
Yes.
And after that, it will be me.
Father?
She speaks! Sister! Sister! Don't go! Please don't go!
Farewell, my child.
It is over. It is over, and I shall rest.
So, it still smells like life.
We are in the street. We are at the building. We are still alive.
I smell dog shit.
How the hell did we get here?
Someone carried us out. Firefighters, cops.
No, look around. They haven't gotten here yet. These people are tenants.
Whoa. I'm still a little woozy.
Here, grab my arm. Hear that? They haven't gotten here yet. Nobody knew we were on the roof. Nobody could have gotten out there without becoming a fireball.
So? How did we get down here? It doesn't really matter. We're here. Someone brought us down here.
Someone?
Oh, give me a fucking break. You think the blue people brought us down here?
Who else? They were watching. They knew what was going to happen. I think they were trying to help us. And when we were sort of on the fence, they felt it was their responsibility to help.
Jumpers and on. Hi, my name is Cliff, and I'm a suicide.
Hi, Cliff.
Yeah, fine. Blow it off. But the truth is, we're here. We're not blue, and the whole top of the building is ablaze. Whatever brought us down here, it wasn't human, and it wasn't alive. Are you better now?
Still a little dizzy. Now what?
I think we should just go home. I think we should stay together for a couple of days and figure this out. Fate, or whatever, put us together at the exact same time.
That's not fate. It's New Year's Eve, and it's the tallest building in the city.
And I think we should read the signs and take advantage of the situation. Maybe it's a turning point. Everything is already different. I feel like life is different now. We've shared something, no two other people.
Okay, fine. Let's go.
My apartment is right around the corner. You wanna lean on me? Yeah, like that. Go ahead.
Hey! Hey, you two! Hey,
you've been listening to the 23rd episode of the Sudden Radio Project. Contributors to this edition include John Severn, Heather Andrews, Daniel Flessis, Emily Young, Connor Kearns, Kimberly Patton, Todd Greblow, Crystal Schneider, Deborah Perry, and Lisa Hamid. Tune in next month on January 26th from 11 p.m. to midnight for our annual Best Of program. Hear our greatest hits from 2003. You can hear Radio Theater every Monday night from 11 p.m. to midnight here on KBOO. The first Monday of the month, it's the Ubu Hour, Surrealism Old and New. The second Monday, it's the completely improvised Radio Theater of the Listeners. The third Monday, it's Gremlin Time, Bedtime Stories for Adults, and the fourth Monday, it's the Sudden Radio Project.
Then all right there, all right now, and
All right, forever. That's right. As I roll out and crawl into the big chair so I can be here now. At that wacky cha-cha. I mean, it's the tacky cha-cha. I mean, it's the tongue-in-cheeky cha-cha. A hippie cha-cha. Club. I was a hippie one time. Well, it's the persuasive, percussive cha-cha club, as it were. And it is as it is. So it shall be written, so it shall be done. It is the Tiki Cha-Cha Club. Taking you to faraway places and bringing them home to you right here from the studios at, that's right, the Tiki Cha-Cha Club.